Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
ending, but that was Let the Bodies Hit the Floor by Drowning Pool. They're an American rock band formed in Dallas, Texas in 96 and named after the film Drowning Pool. Since its formation, the band consisted of a guitarist C.J. Pierce, bassist Steve Benton, and drummer Mike Luch, and as well as revolving cast of vocalists, the latest being Jason Marino. A little giggly tidbit to that. When my daughter got married, her husband wanted that to be the song that was played as they were announced when they came into the reception, but she nixed that idea. Can't imagine why. Anyway, this is Deborah Lee from A Team of Voices Radio, and we are a poetry group radio team that hangs out on allpoetry.com. And if you're a member, you can knock on the door and come hang out with us. If you're not, it's free to join All Poetry, and you can find us on the tab that says Groups, A Team of Voices, and come hang out with us. If you're out there listening and you can hear my voice and you would like to participate, you can dial in at 646-668-2837. And I'm fairly sure that that is not a song that Carlton would dance to. Just saying. Anyhow, I didn't mean to scare any clients either. I needed that giggle. So I actually played it for the shock value because I had a feeling that it would be a song that Hatter never heard before. Speaking of which, hey, Hatter, what's up? Hatter? Okay, he must be muted, but let's say hello to some of the
there
you are.
Muted.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
Hey, it was your son-in-law. Isn't that like his last request? Last meal or something?
Well, I don't know, but it certainly wasn't what my daughter wanted him to have blasting when, for the first time in person, Mr. and Mrs., blah, 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 and then let the bodies hit the floor. So, you know, it might have been fun for the bachelor party, but didn't fly for the
reception.
I'd
be like burning down the house.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't blame her.
And the weird thing is I had to look up Drowning Pool real quick because I was trying to load Jersey Girl by Bruce Springsteen because I just entered a contest. And anyhow, it wouldn't load fast enough, and Bodies was the one directly after it, so I hit it real quick. All right, so let's welcome in some amazing people that are here. We got a line going, starting with our dynamic duo, Stephen and Kay, the lovely couple from A Poetic Slice of Life Radio. They'll tell you about their show a little bit later. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Glad you're here. I was trying not to laugh at Carlton dancing two bodies, and then Wayne said Metallica on steroids, and Sky said I had to turn the music down so I didn't wake my clients, and it just struck me so funny, and I really needed to giggle, so it's all good. So let's keep on going. We got Dave Prophet on the line. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hi, Deb. I'm fine. How's everybody down there? Out there.
Hanging in there. Yeah, hanging
in. Right. Good deal.
And right behind him, Wayne Gent, who I noticed is also in the Bruce Springsteen concert. Hey, I mean contest. Hey, Wayne. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Deb. I like the music. Kind of caught me off guard and woke me up for sure. So I'm awake now and ready to jam.
Well, catching people off guard was what I was trying to do. I got your attention. And it is a good song.
It.
You know, you can't help but put the rock and roll fingers up and do a Beavis and Butthead shake of the head. And right behind Wayne, if you feel that breath on the back of your neck, that's Lady A, the Queen of Canada. Hey, sis.
Hey, sis. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks.
And last but not least, my Monday buddy, Liquid Damage. Hey, Linda, welcome to the show.
Hey, Deb. Thank you for having me. Hi, guys.
So glad you're here.
Hi, Linda.
Glad everyone's here. And
hey.
I was a minute or two late, but stuff happened, you know. Okay. Sky said she can totally see Carlton jamming out to that. Okay. Heck yeah, okay. You guys are nuts. You guys are really nuts. But I'm glad it put everyone in a mood to giggle and smile, because, like, if we can't smile, what do we got?
That's it.
Now, I can't believe there are so many pictures that I put up for this prompt for tonight. They're just... This artist is really clever. And then I went looking for something and stumbled across like 30-some more. So I guess in a couple of months there'll be a round two with all new photos, but that's neither here nor there at the moment. Let's get this show on the road so we can hear from the dynamic duo before they tell us about their show. Now, I think we had Kay start off last week, so I'm going to grab Stevens. And, oh, on a side note, Linda, in the topics that are coming up, I have the boards. It's called assignment. I'm trying to see here. I think that's May 10th. Yeah, on May 10th. And I gave everybody their own personal prompt, their own personal word bank, and their own personal crayons and a song lyric. But the photo that I put there for you is because of one of your profile pictures where you have your hair braided. So I'm dying to see how you like your photo, and I can't stand waiting. So if you get a chance, go check out that topic and let me know what you think. As a matter of fact,
okay.
I am sticking that on the board. I think I just grabbed the link. Nope, I grabbed Stevens. So, okay, there is Stevens' poem, and I'm still going to toss the other link on the board. You just scroll down in the topic here and find your own name, and beside each person's name, you hit read, and it'll give you a whole bunch of really cool prompts and stuff. But anyhow, without further ado, let's see what Stephen brought for us, please.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, they're really cool pictures, Deb. I thought they were really neat. It was tough to choose one, actually, all of them, but the one I chose, I like. And I call this, "My Heart Isn't on My Sleeve for Your Target Practice." It goes like this. Polluted indigo diamonds fall, vain wanton eyes. Shredded single-tooth grin, veils of poison laceration gleaming. Ventriloquist dummy turns howling, showing that it's been gutted. Braided little girl zigzags from the leg of the alligator, echoing into broken scarlet branches. Old man turned shades of dark cobalt gagging on a tombstone pie full of bones. Court sand make propelled into oculi, but wetted braille shreds fingertips. Whispered idioms pull bloodied crimson sheets off pointer. Swollen rotted face disintegrates into empty, bobbing head beats the titanium skin. Lipless torpor speaks volumes when gravity pulls feathers towards suspended ceiling. Shallow breaths leave starved cells stinking like a clamshell hidden behind rust-stained drywall since last autumn. Plasma pump on sleeve shivers as frigid gunmetal aims and fires. End poem.
Whoa.
Mr. Metaphor.
Wow, I'm like blown away.
No kidding.
I think you. Yeah. Oh, well, is this 10 number 100? Yeah. Holy smokes, congratulations. That's awesome. Oh, my goodness. You know, you would think, I get just as excited seeing these turn people's poems into tens, and it's just like 100. I'll have to look through your folder and see how many are actually from my prompts. But this one, the whole thing is awesome, and the imagery is off the charts. But here, old man turns shades of dark cobalt gagging on a tombstone pie full of bones. Quartz sand may get propelled into... Right? A tombstone pie. Holy cow. That blew me away. And then swollen, rotted face disintegrates into energy. Bobbing head beats the titanium skin. And now I'm picturing this guy as a bobblehead, and his head, and he's got blood dripping from eating his tombstone pie. And oh my God, the crazy, outrageous imagery here is off the charts, Stephen. I'm just totally blown away. And I could keep pulling pieces from every single one, but I want to save something for everyone else. But you really outdid yourself with some of the metaphors and imagery in this one. Braided little girl zigzags from a legless alligator. Now I'm trying to picture an alligator that's sort of slithering like a snake. So this was actually quite brilliant. I very much enjoyed it. Wow. Let me get you some comments here. Let me start with you, Dave Proppett.
Wow. That's all I can say about it. Man, it is really heavy duty. I like all of the darkness in this and the oh, the off-the-wall metaphors and word usage in there. You know, I have to agree with you, Deb, on that one, two, three, fourth stanza, swollen, rotted face disintegrates into energy. I'd like to watch that sometime from a scientific standpoint. Bobbing head beats the titanium skin. Lipless torpor speaks volumes. How do you speak without lips? That's cool. When gravity pulls feathers towards the suspended ceiling. Hmm. Yeah, this really makes you put your thinking cap on when you hear it. And the way Stephen read it was really cool, too. Ventriloquist dummy turns howling, showing that it's been gutted. Ooh, man. Great little girl zigzags from the legless alligator echoing into the broken scarlet branches. Wow. And then I also took me aback on that tombstone pie full of bones deal, too. Wow. This is pretty amazing. Pretty amazing, Stephen. I think it's really cool. Man, way to go. That's all I can say. I thought he used the word banks up pretty well, too, you know.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, how about you?
Well, both of y'all stole the stanza I picked. So I'm going to pick another one. But this is amazing with all the phrases and metaphors. It says so much it's hard to pick out any one part of it. Every stanza is wonderful. But the one y'all just read, I got down here too, but I'm going to read another one. I like the one right below. It says, shadow breeze leaves starved cells, singing like clamshell hidden behind rust-stained wood drywall since last autumn. That is that's pretty imaginative right there. Ever stands in this is just a wonderful. Great job on this, and congratulations on the Auto 10. He deserves it. It's a great, great poem.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate it.
Awesome comment.
Welcome.
And how about Linda, please?
Yeah, it was very cool, Stephen. I got darkness, sadness, loneliness, dying, intrigue. It was all there. It was diabolical imagery. Your metaphors were stellar. There's one part that, let me find it. Shallow breasts leave starved cells stinking like a clamshell hidden behind rust-stained drywall since last autumn. I think that's a brilliant line. I think you did really well on this. Great job.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And I think Lady A, will you comment, please?
Well, I was, I'm amazed at how you've changed up your style of writing. It's entirely different, and what is the word I'm trying to use? It's I've lost my train of thought entirely.
He's grown in leaps and bounds like Superman.
I'm looking for a word. It's gone from me. Abstract. I'm so sorry. It is abstract to me, and I think it was really well done with the prompts and the word bank and the colors and the picture. You did it really great justice, and I'm not sure. I really like your other style of poetry. Not to say I don't like this one, but it's so vastly different, a completely different avenue, and it seems it's very new to me to read you like this. And I like it. I do, Stephen. I guess I'm just not used to seeing your writes like this. It's so very abstract, and abstract poetry for me is much more difficult to digest, and that's just the way my brain works. It's got no reflection on your talent, so don't misinterpret what I'm saying, please. I think you did a great job and in that realm of abstract poetry.
Thank you. Thank you, lady. And don't worry, I fight the old way sometimes, too.
Speaking of the abstract, I even put in my comment that I think a little bit of his wife's abstract brilliance is rubbing off on him just a touch. And speaking of, Kay, will you please comment for your hubby while I grab your pulse?
Well, yeah. I like what you brought here because, yeah, the title, it definitely starts out for what the right will be. Yeah, because through the pretty words in the abstract, the meat and bones of it, heart is a heart and it's one that can easily be used, squashed, hurt. Sometimes people, they do wear the heart on their sleeve, but it also doesn't mean that it's also there to be hurt.
Right.
So, yeah, excellent.
Awesome, and yours is up there.
Okay, I am very fans because in our room, I've had topics that I have actually wanted to do for the last year, and I still have yet to get to them. And this is now only the second of one of those topics from last year I'm going to get to, because waiting for this, I was realizing this is where I'm going. So I was like, let's do this topic. So basically the meat and bones of what my right is about is the ANSA. This is based off a favorite book of mine called The Virgin Suicides. It was written in 1993. The story is about five adolescent sisters in an upper-class Detroit suburb in the late 70s. The first sister tries to take her life, but she survives that. But midpoint in the story, she takes her life, and then her parents, the parents put the children on lockdown, which eventually leads to all of the sisters taking their life. So my right basically is about the girls who have made it to adulthood. And I call this consequential. In her chamber have back alley smokers and drinkers, shadows ivory plex of mind, lipstick to the sapphire onyx tip, a bird drowned in his milk tip wicks, gnarled lacerations of braided fragility, quills unfettered and torn of eggshell scratch, veined and shredded, laced and botted and black and fuses, the blind aerial illusions, hanging on the shutters, burgundies, emerald clanging on the glass, watch a shatter in a sea glass upon feet, boot face. Room, if you please, as a poison pocks the driven screams of a waspish waif. The chin is smeared, bronze of sewage to Argentine, the mousy slate gray. Tiptoeing tulips, parts of graveyard, quartered and sectioned. Cage laboratory blues, ox populis, the bobby socks hobbyists, kiss and death. Perdition and purgatory in avouchment, nephrentia. Swimmer's delight, trimming and dripping, twister and pages, leather-bound. Incel, vestal fledgling bookworm, is a slip of a girl, not Waheed. End poem.
Wow. Now, I didn't read the book, but I did see the movie version of that. And what a horrifying premise for that. I was absolutely blown away. And now your poem, my goodness, for one, the title, Inconsequential. And that blows me away because that's where it started. You know, it starts with one person feeling inconsequential, and if there's nobody to help you debunk that thought, sometimes really sad things happen. But, like, let me see, hanging on the shutters, burgundy's the emerald, clanging onto glass, watch the shattering and sea glass upon feet, boot-based, a crumb, if you please, boot-based. That's like such a sad thought. Feet boot-faced. Man, oh, man. The chin wet and smeared, bronze and sewage. To Argentine, the mousy slate gray. Tiptoeing tulips parts the graveyard, quartered and sectioned. Man, the gruesome imagery in this is outstanding. Twisters, the pages, leather-bound. You know, back way where we're, okay, inner chamber of back alley smokers and drinkers shadow the ivory plex of mind, lipstick to the sapphire onyx tip. I know I say it all the time, that broken record syndrome, but you definitely are the queen of metaphors, especially in abstractness. And I think that sometimes I'm just in such awe of how you put your words together to paint the images. And again, another repeat, but you have to go back and read it more than once because you'll get something out of it every time, I promise. It's just like so packed with images and feelings, and they twist and they turn and they beg you to come back and get more. And that's really a talent. I guess I'm too, as a matter of fact, and plain, but some of these just totally blow me away. Bobby Sox, hobbyist, kissing death. Wow. I mean, come on. Who would have thought of that besides you? It's just, I absolutely love that phrase. I don't know why. Bobby Sox, hobbyist, kissing death. It's just really outstanding. It impresses me every single time you read. Let me get you some comments. Brilliant work. Front page, congratulations. Woohoo. Okay, let me see. How about if I start with Linda this time?
Yeah, well, this was a beautiful piece, Kay. Suicide is a strange, thoughtless fellow, and it always leaves behind more wreckage than it takes with. And I thought you had some lovely metaphors in here, great metaphoric verses. It was a strong emotional piece, and I like the abstract parts of it. Some of your stuff is, I have to read a couple times. This was more kind of straightforward, and I like that about it, but... it, you know, gives a glance at what suicide is, and you did a great job. Thanks, Kay.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Wayne?
Well, I think this is wonderful. It's deep. It's dark. I hadn't seen the movie or the book as usual, but this is wonderfully descriptive, very descriptive, great flow. And if you and Stephen talk like to each other like y'all did in your poetry tonight, I bet your cat would move out. This is wonderful. It's got great whippers in it. Great job. Great job with this. I liked it.
On all the way, I've got one cat that has to cuddle with me under the covers.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's insistent. He's got every night.
That's great.
I call him the blocker.
Awesome. And let me see. How about if I get a comment from Dave, please?
Well, okay. Let me ask you, Kay. What put these girls on this suicide direction anyway? I'm having trouble figuring out why they went that way to begin with.
Well, for the first girl, the youngest sister, she was 15, so most teenagers with, dealing with depression, growing pains. But her reasoning is you don't understand what it's like to be a 13-year-old girl. But then when the 13-year-old sister committed suicide, she was successful in doing that. Her parents, who were very strict to begin with, they put the girls lockdown. And because they were isolated in the house, they weren't allowed to go to school. They weren't allowed to leave the house. It caused them to go downward in their depression and then to their own lives eventually.
I see. Okay. Well, I really like your poem. I agree with everything Deborah said about it. This is over my head again. But I love the way you use the words, and you know, you position one next to the other one, and most of us wouldn't do that. I mean, we wouldn't have the talent to do that, you know, and I sure don't. But this was really fascinating listening to you read this. It takes the listener on a journey, and it's really grim and dark, and but it's fascinating, and I thought you did a hell of a job with it. Well done. Front page pick. That's cool, too. Way to go.
Awesome comment. And before I get a comment from Stephen, let's say hi to Gary. Hey, Gary. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How's everybody tonight?
Doing
hey,
well.
Hey, Gary.
And, awesome. Good. Great to hear.
And we also have a first-time caller. It's Chuck. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Kay.
Hey, Chuck.
Doing
Chuck.
Well.
What's up, Chuck?
Chuck. Welcome, Chuck.
How y'all doing?
We're Chuck's doing well. Good. We're glad that you're here.
I listened
and,
to that read of. I listened to the read of the poem, and though it's very, very dark, there's back-to-back-to-back metaphors that are just outstanding. It's a scary thought, the poem, but very well written.
Thank you.
Excellent comment. And Gary, did you hear the poem?
No, ma'am. I didn't catch the poem when I came in. I caught the first of the comments, but I know to take a touchy subject like that and to write anything on it is amazing. And I just know that it was amazing just by y'all's comments, and I could imagine the amazement of it.
Awesome. Okay. And Linda, did I get you to comment?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. And I think Hatter's still writing. So I am going to say thank you to you can comment? Hatter?
Oh, I didn't know if you heard me. I just want to ask Kay and Steven a question. I bet you guys walk around talking in metaphors, don't you?
Not in my house. My house. I'm a great shooter with Steven.
Well, I don't know. Some of the words we use are pretty
simple. Well, yeah, but you know what I mean.
don't even know you're doing it. So, yeah, I
agree
with everything you said. My friend, Kate. Hopefully, right. And Steven, she didn't call me on the, when you read yours. My Lord, dude, that went on two of my lists.
Okay, well, how about if we get Steven to comment on his lovely bride and then tell us what's happening at the mortuary?
All right, yeah, this is really, really cool, hon. The dark imagery definitely matches the picture and moves the story. I have never read the book or seen the movie, but I know I have to fix that since we're going to be doing it in our room later on.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I really like this. Some of the imagery made me think of those old Faces of Death. Remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the imagery in here made me think of that. So, that definitely a nail on the head with the dark imagery, I think. But yeah, it's a very powerful piece.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And tonight, you're welcome. Tonight at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, over at Aquatic Slice of Life is the Mortuary of Shadows, and we have quotes from the 1980 movie The Fog, the original version, not the crappy remake. The original one starring Adrian Barbeau, Hubba Hubba, and
Jamie Lee Curtis. I agree.
Jamie Lee Curtis, too.
Hell yeah, yep. So it's going to be fun. Nice dark, get shrouded in the fog.
Yeah. Somebody watch me get banned from the station.
And I'm still giggling about the cat moving out. I can't help myself. But I'm looking forward to that show. I had fun with my poem. And the prompts are always great there. Okay, so I'm sure you guys have to head out and prepare for your show and maybe grab a snack, but I very much appreciate you being here as always, and brilliant work. I will see you at the mortuary. If you stay for a poem, that's great. If you can't, I understand. I am going to grab the next poem, and that would be by Mr. Dave Prophet. So let me go find his link. There it is. And we can see what he brought for us. There we go. Okay, David, take us away.
Okay. Well, I picked this one naturally because it's got a guitar player in it, so that's the one I wanted. And I call this one Minstrel of the Evening. It goes like this. You can hear him, if you listen, cast aside all those whimpers, for they belong to yesterday, echoes through the woodlands in vain scarlet twilight, such notes of melancholy in lavender shadows outlined in crimson, titanium notes of his heart's children, tugs at the crystalline tears from my Irish eyes, notes from his guitar's soul, marinated in Irish sentimentalisms, for I know this music so well. Calls the winged evening in gently. She lets down her indigo hair, her arms outstretched to Lady Luna, whose moonbeams become the strings for the minstrel's evening guitar, blending in quicksilver off its obsidian fingerboard. Such notes could only be those in the time signature of evening, glowing sapphire quarter notes floating in wooded dells and meadows, weeping for the death of the day, reverberating in minor keys only from the dark mother's score. She calls to the minstrel, saying, play for your queen and the evening, my son. Make me feel what it is to be human, so that I may speak with my man about thee and the music inside of you. My dog and I sat stock still on an old silver tree log long since passed, held us fast in its girth as we watched the evening descend upon the woods. Such reverence from the dark mother, held up gunmetal arms into the gathering gloom, reaching for the sky she knows so well. I saw her quartz tears flowing from her hydrogen alpha eyes as Luna kissed her face as she wept for the world, as she wept for the wonderment of it all. She wept for me as she weeps for you. For I could not restrain the screams inside my heart. Silent, yet she heard, David, my man, ye bear witness unto the evening's call. For minstrel of my heart thou art. End poem.
Deb's muted.
Deb?
I'm sorry. Weeping for the death of the day, reverberating in minor keys, only from the dark mother's score, she calls the minstrel, saying, play for your queen in the evening, my son. Make me feel what it is to be human, so that I may speak with my man about thee and the music inside of you. That part stood out for me because I find it quite fascinating that the Dark Mother speaks with these and thous, like she's extremely proper. But the imagery and stuff, like she lets down her indigo hair, or another thing that I really liked, my dog and I sat stock still. I love that you brought the dog in. From her hydrogen alpha eyes, as Luna kissed her face, as she wept for the world, she wept for the wonderment of it all, she wept for me, and she weeps for you. Wow, Dave. It's fascinating how often you find a way to pull the Dark Mother into your poems. Even we got a picture of a guy in a leather outfit holding his guitar, and somehow you worked the dark mother in there, yet she fit. So, like, I think that if people counted up the poems that were for, about, or had her in part of it, there'd be a big percentage of your poetry that would be in a pile by the time they were done. And Dave, you've had her going for years, my friend. So that's unbelievable. The adventures that you and the Dark Mother have been on are incredible. Great piece.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Thank you. Thank you.
And before I get a comment from the duo so they can go, let's say hello to AP, the Wizard of Oz. Hello, AP.
Hello,
hey,
AP. How are you?
I'm okay. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
We're just about to get comments for Dave, and then I'll get your poem on.
Yes.
So how about I get a comment from Kay, please?
Well, yeah, I think this is a cool share. Stand 3 and 4, they hold great thoughts to them as to how you remember the infamous of the Dark Mother. But I really like the lines, as she wept for the world, she wept for the wonderment of it all, she wept for me, she weeps for you. Because after reading those, those really stood out. It gives the depth of sadness, but it also gives a personal edge to her softness of empathy. It's a beautiful share.
Thank you, Kay.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Stephen?
Well, right from the start, Dave, I had a song enter my head while you were reading this, and I could hear the song the whole time. While my guitar gently weeps.
Yeah.
I thought that this was a great, great piece from the King of Story Poems, as you are, because you really know how to tell stories. Your poetry, and you always do it so well. And this is no exception.
Okay.
And I like how you kept bringing in the Irish eyes, too, because that's what I got, too. I got Irish eyes as well.
Yeah. Anytime it's sentimental, I have to do that. I got a lot of sentimentality in my family, so.
Yeah.
Awesome comments from both of you, and I appreciate you calling, and I will see you at the mortuary. Let me get a comment for David from Linda, please.
Yeah, that was amazing, Dave. You tell quite a story, but, you know, at one point I could almost hear Irish dirges in the background, and this verse here... glinting in quicksilver off its obsidian fingerboard, such notes could be only those in the time signature of evening, glowing sapphires, quarter notes floating in wooden dells and meadows. And this just gave me a feeling of being in the woods and hearing some nice Irish fairy music-like stuff. But I'm really fascinated by your Dark Mother that you insert into your poems. She brings kind of a spark to your stuff. And it's a time signature for you, the Dark Mother. So you did a really great job on this. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And how about a comment from Wayne, please?
This is a wonderful poem. You saw a whole lot of stuff in that little picture of the guy with the guitar. He had a great story in this and the guitar guy's playing pretty sad songs in this. And the Dark Mother shows up, and when she gets to get you playing music, she starts crying quartz tears. Must have been a hell of a sad song for her that she had to make her cry like that. And a great storyline, good flow, and a wonderful read. Great job with this. I liked it a lot.
Oh, thanks, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And how about if I get one more from Gary, please?
Absolutely. I loved it. You know, best way I can explain it is when I start listening to it and I close my eyes, you know, because I'm like just staring at my phone listening, and it takes you down like a journey. And as he's describing it, you see what he's saying, but then he just keeps describing it, and you just see more parts of it and more parts of it and so on and so forth, and I think that's brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and just that's the way that I see it and I feel it anyway. I thought it was awesome.
Oh, thank you, Gary. I appreciate it, man.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you, ma'am, for the journey.
Fabulous comment. Now, probably AP is on a little quick break, so I have added the poem. If you would take us away, that would be awesome.
It's only a brevity-ish. It's brevity plus 20 words. This is a discussion with a raven, and it goes a little bit like this. Once I spoke to a raven who was in a gunmetal cage in Leary about the winds howling, drawing rust from sky's roar, and its ebony sheen shrouded in feathers that were capping, which plasma tapping, not 12 feet from the door, whose tombstone now lies in scarlet evermore. 'Tis my hopes and schemes I chose to ignore. Guttered by amethyst and cobalt designs, once keen to remember, as driftwood set to water, my bloodied entrails red do gnaw, which mahogany now folded and fluffed in a beaketed borrow, lost to the morrow, as sounds from a prison do caw. How can one caged bird really be that sure? I theatise here, while a response I store. End poem.
Oh, how clever is that? I love how it starts out, once I spoke to a raven who was in a gunmetal cage in Leary about the wind howling, drawing rust from skies raw. Great imagery there. But let me see here. Whose tombstone now lies in scarlet evermore? I like that that's a question. Just my hopes and schemes I chose to ignore. It's got like... I almost expected Lenore's name to pop up somewhere.
Yeah,
for
sure.
It had that, a little bit of that Poe feel. And
it does.
Gutted lie, amethyst, and cobalt designs, once keen to remember, as driftwood set to water my bloodied entrails, red to gnaw. Man, talk about vivid, dark images. And then another question at the end, how can one caged bird really be that sure? I see its eye sear while I repose, I store, like locking it all away in your memory. Wow. And I forgot that it was a word bank, too, which is always shows that it came out excellent. Man, oh, man. I'm still stuck at that lies in scarlet evermore, like endless scarlet. Just my hopes and schemes I chose to ignore, which there's so much sadness in just that line. Sorry about the motorcycles. Tis my hopes and schemes I chose to ignore. Like I said, it just seems like you stuck yourself on the back burner and just didn't pay any attention to what you needed. Just everyone else's. So that's a really, really sad statement there. I like what you did with it. Brilliant work.
Thank you.
Let me get you some comments. Oh, and let's say hello to Frank. Hi, Frank. Glad you're here.
Hello there, my friends. It's good to be on.
Hey, Frank.
Hi. Frank.
There you go, Wayne.
Hi, Frank. Hola.
Is that liquid?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's good to see you, my dear.
And it's good to see you too, Frank.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Hello, Deb.
Yeah.
Lady A, are you muted?
Oh, I didn't hear you.
My mute button. Sorry.
I think you were. Yeah.
I must have been because I'm.
Okay. You asked for comment or?
Yes, I did. Please.
Okay.
Wait a minute, AP. You heard my comment though, right?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Okay. Cool. All right, Lady A, please.
I thought this was really
a great write. I was you used more than the assigned words and colors too. I noticed that as well, and I thought that the second verse was quite moving. Gutted lie amethyst and cobalt designs, once keen to remember, as driftwood set to water, my bloodied entrails red do gnaw. The colors and the imagery that you set in here, I think that this was rich mahogany now folded and fluffed in a beaker did borrow, lost to the morrow of sounds from a prison do caw. I felt so sorry for that that raven, because he, you know, I'm seeing this. This is how I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it as the raven is speaking to the boy or the man, and these are his thoughts. And how can one caged bird really be that sure? And then the boy says the last line. This is where mine. I see it. I sear. While a response I store, so the whole dialogue is the raven speaking, while the boy is listening and waiting, thinking of a response. It was very powerful too, and from that perspective to see what it's like to be caged and trapped forever, and never to see all the beauty of what he saw before he was captured. So that was really very good.
Thank you, Lydia. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Chuck?
Well, AP, I think that took me one step beyond Edgar Allan Poe. It's fascinating, and I got the same impression that the bird was actually doing the narration and talking to the man or the child. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. It has some fearful thoughts in it that would make a great, great, great scary movie. I think it was well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome comment. And how about many people? How about Wayne, please?
Yes, I never got to see the poem posted, but what I sit there and listen to was I heard Edgar Allan Poe reading this in his dark little chamber, reciting this poem. It was perfectly read Edgar Allan Poe poem, and it was dark, dingy, and it had the raven in it. It was if I didn't know better, I would guess it's Edgar Allan Poe wrote this. So you did a great job with this AP, and I really liked it a lot. I have to read. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne. It was a direct two stanzas of Edgar Allan Poe, the Raven, in rhyming and timing signature. So that's what I
saw. I
could
tell. You read it so poetic, so whole-like. It was amazing. Great job.
Thank you.
Great comment. And Wayne, the board is hopping tonight with conversation, so I just put the link back up again for you so that you could see it. But I appreciate the comment. Cool. And Frank, how about you?
Yeah, I was able to catch the ending, but I was able to read it afterwards. I thought it was very interesting. I like the aspect he took there, discussion of the raven there. It almost feels like a dialogue here. And it's what's intriguing about that is, although the bird is supposedly, you know, real ravens are not those that speak, and the raven himself, Poe's raven, only uttered the word nevermore. And then it seems that the bird had an intuitive insight into the mind of the character there that he's having the conversation with. So in that regard there, which is unique in that sense, I did like that. I did like that notion there. I almost felt that although the bird was trapped in the cage, I almost felt that the poor soul there that's conversing with him was somewhat in a... perhaps in a metaphorical sense, is captured as well in that cage. So there is a sense of that regard that I felt that ambiguity there, that contrast there that really is stark in nature, but at the same time, it's compelling there. It does offer you a unique aspect of this poem here.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you.
You're welcome.
awesome comment. And how about if we get one more from Linda while I grab her poem?
Let me get back to it. I didn't have the poem up when you read it. I did catch part of the first verse, but I finally got it up and have been reading it. And a beautiful job, my friend. It was kind of sad about the raven and him being in the cage and being scared of the wind. And I think that it was beautiful metaphoric working here. The imagery was quite nice, too. I think you did a really great job, AP. Good work.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Linda.
Great comment, everyone. And thank you, AP. I appreciate you squeezing the show in on your break. Brilliant work as usual.
Pleasure.
And we'll talk
soon. Thank you. Thanks again. Thanks for the prompts, Deb. It was good fun. Talk soon.
All right. AP.
Bye, nice. Everybody. Oh. Yeah.
I just wanted to tell you, I was on an online auction today, and I won an Australian tribal drum.
Oh,
I'll send you a picture of it later.
No, please do. No, send me a picture. I'd love to see it. Okay, bye, everybody. Awesome. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Deb. Thank you, everybody.
Take care, my friend.
Cheers. Okay, thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, and Linda, if you refresh, yours is on the board, and you can dazzle us with your story.
I gotcha. And I'm sorry, I apologize that it was so long, but I just get into your pictures, and I just can't say enough. But this is called Edward Slitherhands. It came on a night where the winds were howling, screams could be heard through the dark. But out in the graveyard, the enemies wailed, bloodied and anxious they balked. I could hear o'er the tombstones the gnashing. It sounded like snakes in a box. That just meant the evil was coming and something I never forgot. I remember the last time it did come to the laboratory with scarlet eyes. It's cloaked was of feathers and crimson, woven in regret and in lies. This time it seems a bit softer, its eyes in a cool indigo blue. It didn't come on like a twister, but rather with a bit of virtue. I wanted to get it caged at first sight, then I saw the tears on its cheeks. My heart felt broken for it right away, not so evil, but rather quite meek. Before I could get the chance, the titanium cage fell down, and standing right there was a little boy. On his face, he wore a large frown. Now, not nearly the evil we expected, not nearly the hate and regret. Then he spoke and said unto me, please, you don't have to fret. So I raised the cage at that moment and said I would do what I can. Please, what's your name? I asked him. His reply, I am Edward Slitherhands. You may know my brother. He once was from these parts. His hands could be blades of destruction, but he had a great loving heart. He stood in a suit of gunmetal. His face showed of sorrow and pride. His hands were of slithery digits and seemed very hard to hide. I've come to the lab where I was made to find answers to why I'm this way. I just want to touch and to hold without people running away. There in the bleaker was plasma, but by now it had turned cobalt blue. It cannot conduct electricity unless it's a yellowish hue. Once we revive the plasma, it will be used to revive all my cells, hopefully taking good energy to my hands and making them well. Once revived, we hooked up the conductor to a quartz crystal to amplify things. We saw in a flash that the energy flowed all through the wiring. Before Edward stepped into the chamber, he smiled and motioned to me. Will you hold my slithery hand and pray that God has mercy on me? So we prayed and I saw what was inside him. His heart was a thing to behold. Except for a little rust there, his heart was made of pure gold. Like a knight, he walked into the chamber and sat there all regal and stuff. He yelled out to charge the capacitor, then yelled out when it was enough. It smoked and it shook and it lit up. Edward stayed very strong. But before the procedure was over, it was apparent that something went wrong. Edward came out of the chamber. His hands hadn't been changed at all. His heart, you could tell, was breaking as he looked on in total appall. Tears started flowing down his cheeks, so I went over and took his hand. I told him I thought he was beautiful because he had the best heart in the land. Beauty is all in the heart, and ugly is all in the mind. You are the most beautiful person I've known, and surely the best that I'll find. Now, Edward and I are such best friends. His slithery hands don't invade. I think he's a terrific person, so wonderfully and perfectly made in poem.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, before I comment, let's say hi to Sweet. Sweet.
Hi, Sweet.
Hello.
Sweet.
Hello, hello.
Feeling the love, my sweet?
I do. I feel the love. I feel all fuzzy.
Awesome. Now, to the poem.
You, sweet.
Thank you.
You know, I can see that this poem or this picture just captured your imagination, and wow, I as you were reading, the tone of your voice changed. There was a sadness at certain points, and the strength and the power of emotion that shines through your tone of voice adds to the depth in the poem. And like, you know, I was so enthralled by the story that I don't even know if it was a rhyming poem or not this week, because I was just so. And then on top of that, you know, I mean, look at the crayon colors and the word bank usage. I think that you just turned around and absolutely brought this photo total life, and when he found out that it didn't help, you felt it, and you made me feel it, and my heart was breaking for him because it didn't work. It hadn't changed at all, and his heart was breaking, and it was just like you, those words was breaking my heart, and that's a powerful pen to be able to do such a thing. Wow. Tears started flowing down his cheeks, so I went over and took his hand. I told him I thought he was beautiful because he had the best heart in the land. That part right there has to be my favorite, because with all the stuff going on, for you to write in and take the time to try and make him feel better and to tell him that, you know, that he's beautiful, that everybody, there's beauty in just about everybody, and with all the sadness and everything, you wrapped it up with a great message. And then the last line, I think he's a terrific person, so wonderfully and perfectly made. And that's a powerful right there, because quite often it's hard to get people to understand that everybody is beautiful in their own way. So I think that you did this.
That's
incredible.
Right. Thank you, Deb. Thank you
so much
for that.
Sweet, did you get to hear it? My sweet?
Sorry, I dropped and I need to let back in. I did hear it, a perfectly rhymed poem. I love the use of all the word bank and the colors. But all in that, besides all of that, it's a powerful poem. It just makes you feel. It makes you become just involved in the story. And once again, I just bow to you, because you tell a story that's engaging and you capture your audience. and you just sit there in awe. It's like, what's the next thing she's going to say? What's the next? How does this end? How is this character? You become part of that story, and you have all the emotions for the character and for everything he goes through. And I just love the way you can tell a story, and it's just beautiful.
Thank you, sweet. I'm really glad you liked it.
I apologize for typing. I forgot to mute myself. Dave Prophet, please.
Oh, man. I really like this. I saw Edward Scissorhand, and I've seen it a couple of times. And when I saw this prompt, it reminded me of that. And Linda, you just did a stellar job on this poem. The rhyming and meter is just perfect. It reminds me of a professional, a really famous poet, that the way you structured it and rhymed it and everything. And I agree with what Deb said about your voice. I could feel your emotion, welling up in and out of your voice when you read it. And to be able to do that, it affects not only you, but it also affects the listener. And I think that's a sign of a really, really good writer. And I just really loved this. I thought your use of the word banks and the colors and stuff were perfect. And your empathy towards this individual was stellar, and we just, the world needs a hell of a lot more empathy and understanding, especially nowadays. And I thought that this poem was a good representation of that. So well done, my friend.
Thank you, Dave. That means a lot coming from you. I mean, it really means a lot.
Well, you're welcome.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Lady A?
Well, I agree with everything everybody has said so far. And Linda, you have a real gift of storytelling. And your rhyme and cadence is always perfect. And the style that you write in is wonderful. I really enjoy your pieces, and I have to agree with everything everybody said so far. And you have a tremendous gift, and I enjoyed this story very much. And yes, the compassion and empathy shown throughout this poem was really something, as Dave said, that the world is lacking, and we could certainly use more of it. Well done.
Thank you very much, Lady A.
You're more than welcome.
Awesome comment. And Chuck, would you like to comment for Liquid Dance?
Yes, Linda, the cadence and the flow was excellent. The colors jump off the page to me. Real emotion shown. The best heart in the land is just a wonderful phrase. The closing summed up the entire theme of the poem to me. Like, I feel like you were saying that we all may be different, we really are all the same. Just a great poem.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, will you comment and then read your poem, please?
Could I comment?
Yes. There's not a whole lot more I can say about this because than what's been said, but this is a classic. It ought to be going down as a classic on the site here. It's one of the better poems I've ever heard. A lot of motion in this. You read it well. It's just a good storyline, great rhyme. There's everything in this. You stole the show tonight. I think you took all the honors tonight, and great show tonight, great poem tonight, and you did a stellar job reading it. I think it's one of the best poems I've ever heard. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Wow.
I had to apologize for the link, but Deb gives me pictures and stuff to work with that. I just can't stop the creative flow, and so they come out a little longer, but I'm glad you guys don't, aren't put off by that. That means a lot.
Oh, it's great. It's classic.
Thank you, Wayne.
Well,
awesome. And yours is ready, Wayne, so please take us away.
Yeah. There's been a lot of longer poems tonight and very good poems, and mine, I've had some long ones lately, so I made mine fairly short this time, and it's all 10 syllables per line and just a nice three stanzas, and it goes like this. It's called Gary, Cuth Gary and the Twin Terry. It goes like this. Cuth Gary, Gary the Goth guy grieved in the graveyard. Terry the Twisted Twin took troubles hard. The Scarlet Screams tormented Terry's dreams. Gary's rust poison killed Terry, it seems. Quick laboratory lacerations, smooth titanium veined operations. Terry shredded remains, gunmetal caged, head in quartz solution, indigo staged. Gary's gruesome gouge grabbed cobalt right eye. Crimson cries from braided body asked why. Ugly emo eyeglasses on hair lie. Cuth Gary bid torn twin Terry goodbye. End. Is a little bit of there.
I'm sorry, the ending, ugly emo eyeglasses on a hair lie, Cuth Gary bid the twin Terry goodbye. I couldn't help, of course, but think of little Gary in the room, so the timing on it was pretty cool. But Cuth Gary and his twin Terry. So you had to tell me, I guess if I paid, would you rather be Cuth Gary or his twin Terry?
I'd be Cuth Gary.
Because he got just a head floating in a...
I want to be Terry.
And his twins got his eye. And it's like, okay, this is crazy. The Scarlet Screams tormented Terry's dreams. Gary's rust poison killed Terry, it seems. I'm like, wow, you know, you only have three stanzas, but you did an amazing job with them. And although there was horror and murder, I wound up giggling because of those eyeglasses at the end. Bye, Terry. Give me that eye first. You're kind of crazy, Wayne. I like it.
Kind of.
I'm a whole lot crazy.
And
me too.
Before I get some comments, Hatter's back. Hey, Hatter. And hey. Sky's here. Sky's
Hello.
Here for our hit and run, so let's get some comments. How about if I get a comment from Gary?
I was going to be mad if you did not ask me first. Oh, my goodness. I loved it. Every time I heard my name, I popped up, you know, and it made me nervous, and I loved it. It was funny. It's great rhyme. He's a great rhymer. I never hear that other than me say it maybe, but probably a lot of people say it, but I know I say it every damn time. But anyway, he's a great rhymer, and, yeah, he's crazy and cool and awesome. I tell him all the time, I think we're kin. I promise. But that was awesome.
I wish we
was. Man. Awesome names, you know. Awesome. Kick it. Kick butt.
Great comment.
Awesome comment. And how about if I get a comment from Sweet?
Well, I think that he's a really good twin and gave him a chance and didn't eat him in the womb. So I think you're very good. I loved your rhyme. I loved everything about it. But when you always make me giggle, you always make me laugh, and your imagery is hilarious. So I love you, as always.
Thank you there, Sweet.
Awesome comment. And Lady A?
Yes, well, I like your comment that he's crazy. So I thought that this was really a fun piece, and your story is hilarious, and your ability to rhyme right through this, and it reminded me of a little bit of that. I don't forget what the name of the show was. Is that this is my brother Larry, my other brother Larry, and although it was Gary and Carrie, yeah. So I thought this was great. It was a lot of fun, and it was well written.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And how about I get a comment from Linda?
That was extremely witty and so tight. And the humor, it all balled up, made Wayne a very scary guy. this is preciously on top of things. And the chaos is where it took me. Beautifully done. Great humor, Wayne. You always represent with something killer, and this is no exception. Good job.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
Awesome,
yeah, no
comment. And Sky, can you comment before you read?
Yeah, I thought this was like, I don't know why, but it kind of had like this nursery rhyme feel, but like a really like dark and desolate, I think it was all the rhyme. But I don't know, I felt like it was very whimsical. I think that's why, what do they call those poems that always, they're like, they have a certain rhyme scheme and they're done a lot in nursery rhymes, and I forget the name of the form. Wayne, help me out. You're good at forms.
Oh, this is, I think you're talking about limerick, but this is just more alliteration than
limerick. Yeah. Yeah, it is, but it holds the I think the humor of the limerick, but put in a very dark, dark past, and I really like that about it, that it holds that bit of cynicism and sarcasm of the limerick, but with such a darker story behind him. I love that you did that with the double face and the Terry and the Gary. I thought that was absolutely brilliant. Very, very well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. And thank you for letting me read. All right. This is called All Ash Now, Ash and Death. There are dead leaves like dry ghosts dancing on ground, a moonlit pond of howling raw umber and tarnished gold. Cinnamon satin swashed in granite gray, a macabre waltz of poison feathered mist, white with golden glitter flecks, an homage to what once was and now lay in dull shades. She walks in between those spaces braided with shadow, and the dim lantern memory of a winter wizard's sky blue, a twilight lavender of rose dust, veined with beacon fire, all ash now, ash and death, as a timber wolf tombstone reaches like the bones of hackberry trees in late January. It weeps tremors of black plasma, a resin of bitter blood, cold on stone, carved letter lacerations of the forgotten, a name once called hers, something stolen, a stranger left to rot in glass portrait frames above a once beating caverns that now only lay hollow in a mahogany casket. End poem.
Wow, Sky, there was a mega sadness in your voice tonight too. There are dead leaves like dry ghosts dancing on the ground. I think that's an amazing description of the leaves blowing in the background. A moonlit pond of howling raw umber and tarnished gold. She walks in between those spaces braided with shadow and the dim lantern memory of a winter wizard's sky blue. It weeps tremors of black plasma, a resin of bitter blood, cold on stone. Wow, your metaphors and images in this are outstanding. I love the use of the word bank. I love the crayons that you put in there. But it was the tone. I had said this to Linda earlier. It was the tone in your voice that added to it. That lulled us into connecting with the story and wanting to know where it led, and the left to rot in a glass portrait frame. What a sad thought, left to rot, just that part, but in a glass portrait frame. So now you know it's like framed for prosperity. hollow in a mahogany casket. So, like, wow. I kind of knew, even with the cat, that you would go with this one because of the fact that that tombstone is a tree. So, you know, I teased you about not taking the cat, but I knew when I saved this one that it would be one that you would grab if it was still there. And the story that you wrote and the metaphors, and I'm still blown away by the opening line, there are dead leaves like dry ghosts dancing on the ground. I think that's a priceless statement. Through, like I said, your voice kept us interested, kept us wanting to know what was going on. You did brilliant with it.
Thank you, Deb.
My goodness. Let me get you some
comments. Now, if you look closely, there's a picture frame in that tombstone.
Yeah, you know.
I really see that. Thank you.
My grandparents' tombstones have that oval picture on it. They got theirs put on like they were young because they were the cemetery that they're buried in had sent out a notice that it would be the last year that they would be allowing them put on there. So that made me picture the cemetery and my grandparents anything to do with the poem, but I mean, I don't know if it's a city thing or a state thing or a U.S. thing, but they don't allow the pictures on at St. Mary's Cemetery anymore, and that's what it made me think of. But you just totally poured emotion and images into this and brought the photo to life. Excellent. And since I mentioned the tone and voice, let me start with Linda.
Yeah, and yes, Sky, your voice is so beautiful when you read your poetry, and I really admire that. But what beautiful metaphoric verses and deeply cold imagery. They all balled up to make this a very kind of sad and gothic type poem. It was how sad it must have been for her. Walking in between the tombstones, you know, she walks in between those spaces braided with shadow and the dim lantern memory of winter, wizard sky blue, a twilight lavender of rose dust veined with beacon fires, all ash now, ash and death, as the Timberwolf tombstone reaches like the bones of huckleberry trees in late January. I think that's just a beautiful verse. I can't say much more about this poem, but it was really, really good. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you, Linda.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Chuck?
Yeah, unfortunately, my phone is just about dead here, so I have to make just a quick comment, but Sky, I think just as important as the words and the way they are formed, your voice and the way that you read it makes the poem just unique and really, really interesting.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And my sweet.
Thank you all for allowing me in. I've got to leave you now.
All right, well, Chuck, I'm really glad you called. Keep healing, and please call again, often.
Will do, Kay. I know I bother you enough on the internet.
It's Deb, but that's okay.
Oh,
see you next time.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Hi, Chuck.
Well,
what is? That noise.
My sweet.
Well, hey, okay. Well, Miss Sky, it's already on my list. I love it. It's dark. It's visceral. It's all the things I want it to be. I love some of the great lines that are in it. I love all ash now, ash and death. I love the title to go on down. I, too, like Deb, love the opening
stanza a lot. But I love, what is it, A Twilight Lavender Froze, Dust Stained with Beacon Fires. I love that imagery. I just think it's really pretty, even with all this lovely little gruesome imagery you got in here. I just thought I wanted to actually see that Twilight Lavender Froze, Dust Stained with Beacon Fires. Very well, gruesomely, and kind of sensually done.
Thank you, sweet.
You're very welcome.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Frank? Frank? Are you muted? Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. We can't hear you, Frank.
You'll be back.
Dave, can you comment for Sky?
Yeah, I'd love to. One of the things I always like about Sky is the timbre in her voice. She has a very kind of an ethereal sound to her voice when she's reading, and it's really becoming to her poetry. My favorite stanza in this was the center one. She walks between those spaces braided with shadow and the dim lantern memory of a wintered wizard sky blue. Those are two really powerful lines in there. You know, when you walk around in a cemetery, you know, especially at night, if it's got a full moon out, you get that those braided spaces in between the in between the lines there because of the tombstones and stuff. And I thought this was a really well crafted description of a cemetery. I thought a twilight lavender of rose dust. That's cool. Veined with beacon fires. These dogs are barking. All ash now, ash and death, as a timber wolf of tombstone reaches like the bones of hackberry trees in late January. Wow. You're really a powerhouse of a writer, Sky. I thought you were outstanding. You did a hell of a job of writing to the prompt, too.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And how about a comment from Gary, please?
Thank you so much. I thought it was absolutely great, the way that she wrote it, and you know how you felt the kind of the sadness and the way that she did it in descriptive way. It's just pinpoint what you would want like an epic poem to be. I thought it was great. I loved how she read it, and I thought it was absolutely wonderful. Story, poem, journey that she took us on.
Thank you, Gary.
Great comment.
And
yes,
Lady A, will you comment for Sky, and then read for us, please?
Sure. Sky, this is beautiful. I know the night that we were talking and we picked out our prompts, and you kept coming back to this one, and I'm glad that you did. And I thought that there's every verse that you've written here has beauty in it, and I and an overtone of sadness, certainly. But the last verse in particular I really liked. It weeps tremors of black plasma, a resin of bitter blood, cold on stone, carved letter lacerations of the forgotten. A name once called hers, something stolen, a stranger left to rot in glass portrait frames above a once beating caverns that now only lay hollow in a mahogany casket. But, you know, this line here, a name once called hers, you have pearls, gems, when you write. Almost every poem has one just like this. a name once called hers. The form, the way you write, it just jumps out at me. It's powerful and meaningful and emotional. I thought this was a great write.
Thank you, Andrea.
You're
awesome.
Welcome.
And I'm sorry, Sis, before you read, Sky, do you want to push your show first?
Yeah, I'm going to stay for Lady A really quick, and then I am going to tuck out. But I have a show tomorrow night over at LCN, Radium Girls, the book versus movie, some great quotes. You don't have to go towards the movie or the book. You can just say the quote and go where you will. I am putting a little restraint on it this time because it is an actual tragic story, so please don't go, disrespectful with the quote. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm over on Poetic Slice, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday, and we're moving forward with our Lord of the Rings marathon. Thank you, Deb. And I'm going to stay just for Lady A to read, and then I'm going to tuck out. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, well, I'll get you to comment as soon as I do. That way you can get some sleep.
Can you?
Or go
can
to the mortuary, whatever. Yeah, we can hear
yeah.
you now.
Okay.
Glad you called
okay,
back,
thank
Frank.
You.
Okay, Lady A, take
Frank.
It away.
Okay, I wrote my poem, and then when I called in and the first poem that was read, I realized that I left out two parts of the poem, the word bank and the color. So I went right back as the next few poems were read, and I stuck the words in where I thought they would work, and as the colors as well, and I had the picture picked. So here it goes, and hopefully it makes some sense. But this is called Shallow Roots. Upon a hill with shallow roots, he stood at dusk in his black boots. Born on a Wednesday, he's full of woe, shadowed eyes, a topaz glow. Purpose propels him to the hill where moonlight shines as he stands still. Tiny boy, not yet a man, prisoner in a bedarkened land. Anemia shows a face of gray, circles black under eyes betray, secrets held close to his chest, on bloodied feathers rests his head. Once upon a time, it's said, songs were sung and poems read, lovers loved hand in hand, while music played throughout the land. Azure canopy o'er their heads, golden sun, its rays widespread. Like all dark fairy tales, joy was robbed, music failed, dance and song caught the train, never to be seen again. Charcoal skies and awning cold, cloaked poems never told. Daily the anemic boy climbed a hill with shallow roots, set garnet victrola on the peak, wound and wound as it squeaked. Hopeless, he tried once more, as ox blood spilled on his boots. Once upon a hill, tombstones stood in plasma pools. Howling winds, eerie sounds, forced the boy to the ground. Music died upon the hill with shallow roots, and so did Bill. And poor.
Aww. Wow. Well, for starters, wherever you put in the words, you did a great job at threading them back in after the fact because it worked out well. and my goodness, the last stanza, once upon a hill, tombstones stood in plasma pools, howling winds, eerie sounds forced the boy to the ground. Music died upon the hill with shallow roots, and so did Bill. Man, such a sad ending. I mean, it works perfectly with the picture. But back at the beginning, too, upon a hill with shallow roots, he stood at dusk in his black boots. Now, I'm pretty sure roots was one of the words. So that's like, wow, really perfect. Tiny boy, not yet a man,
prisoner in the darkened land. So, so sad and powerful and image-filled. But the ending is just, you know, you're like, oh, I think this, if you were the type that put music in your music links in your author's notes, I think it would be the day the music died, because it's got
yeah.
kind of a feel. So I think you did excellent with this. Let me get you some
Thank
comments.
You very much.
And I'm going to get it from Sky first.
Oh, I really, really, really love this one. I think it has to be one of my favorites by you, Andrea, and I've been reading you for years, so I have quite a list, but this is definitely on it. Once upon a tombs, what where is it? Once upon a, I lost it right here. Once upon a hill, tombstones stood in plasma pools. The way that you weave fiction into the sadness of a very real reality is just outstanding. The storytelling, the dark sachets of music. I'm sure you haven't seen it, but there's this movie called Jack and the Cuckoo Clock Heart, and it has such dark undertones. If anybody's ever seen it, the dark undertones and storyline, I love that kind of genre, that dark and beautiful, real storyline, but with those images of those layers of a gothic fantasy, I guess you would say. And you held that through this piece. And even though it was written so much like a gothic fantasy, it held so many real emotions and just like a dark, like all the dark fairy tales, joy was robbed, music failed, dance and song, caught the train never to be seen again. And there was one other piece that really... when you were speaking of there once stories were told in music and tales. And if I'm not mistaken, and I might be wrong here, but I think the name Bill is a very personal connotation to you. That I'm pretty sure I did not fail to neglect on that. And that's why I think this is woven with fiction, but with a very real and personal reality of death. And I'm rambling here. This is incredible, Andrea. Really, really well done.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate
Great.
It.
Great comments, Guy, and I'm glad you called.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Wonderful
it.
Show.
Thank you. And how about my suite?
Yeah, this one almost makes me cry because there's so much reality that mirrors life, and it's so beautiful. Sad song, the whole Once Upon a Time that Sky went into. But the first stanza, who's born on a Wednesday, is full of woe, shadowed eyes and topaz glow. Like all dark fairy tales, joy was robbed, music failed. Forced the boy to the ground, music died upon a hill with shallow roots, and so did Bill. I mean, I just want to hug you and dance on the sand and be warmed by the sunshine near the ocean and just find joy again. I know how much in your heart this one means, and I'm just there hugging you like you have been the last few days for me.
Oh, I love you, sweet. Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, Hatter, you want to comment?
Yeah, I also like the way that you began, how it started, and how it ended. That was a nice touch. You know, when you're reading rhyme, and flows so well, you don't even know it's that you're reading rhyme. You're not. You have a couple of lines in here. Right in here. I'm sorry. like it. Once upon a time it said songs were sung and poems read, love
yes.
loved hand in hand while music played throughout the land. You know, it doesn't, you could place any words in there as long as there was a strong rhyme theme and it would just flow. The cadence is right. It tickles the feather in your ear and you're showing your talent, lady. Very good.
Aw, thanks, Heather. You know something, I mean, I told you this before, is this inline rhyme and I've improved on over the years, and it's because of the way you write. I love that kind of writing and the cadence that goes along with it. And so you have inspired me to write this way.
Thank you.
Aww.
Yes.
True story.
All from common. and Frank, will you say hi to Amadeus?
Yes.
Frank, will you comment for Lady A and read, please?
Yes. Yes, by all means. I thought this piece was very. I enjoyed the narrative here. I thought it was somber, yet it was reminiscent. It had a reminiscent feel of the poem itself. I thought this was a remarkable write here. The way you took your lines here, you took the word play as well from the word bank like that, and you constructed them into your own form was magnificent. I thought this was a very somber piece here. Yet I felt here in your lines there, in your form, that just that notion there of being on a hill, tombstone stood in Platon Falls, you know, there is somewhat of a sense of this, you know, reflecting on all this and trying to make sense of all of these shallow roots that are connected to her, the prompt there, the person in the prompt. But you did a great job.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Deb. Could I comment on that before Frank reads?
Sure.
Yes, my Lady A, you killed me with this one. It was very sad, but in a very eloquent way. And I got to say, this third verse, once upon a time it said, songs were sung and poems read, lovers loved hand in hand while music played throughout the land. Azure canopy o'er their heads, golden sun, its rays widespread. That was so awesomely beautiful. And the cadence in there, I couldn't get any better with the rhyme and flow in that. You did such a stellar job. I've already put it on my recommend list. I think it's a beautiful poem, and you did just a stellar job on this. You should be very proud.
Thank you so much. Wow.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. Okay, Frank.
All right, my friend. This is a piece I wrote here. It's called A Solitary Willowy Figure, and it goes like this. A solitary willowy figure stands with a tragic sullen look as the howling wind blows on his strands of hair. The undertone of the gray and crimson of death, tombstones of the graveyard of the caged souls. Red roses have become pure black roses wilting, and the twister of deafening screams of gas of plasma. Blotted feathers dripped in a hue of stale burgundy, a laboratory of dreams evinced into mahogany walls. Weeping balsa trees shed the tears of toxic fumes, once abounded with the gems of amethysts and emeralds. The plutonian curse enshrouds the dreary acid clouds above the scattered ashes upon the poison ground. An ebony raven accompanies its lone, tristful wretch with a pale face and plaintive eyes seeking a friend. From the abominable prison of the house of despair, exile to the forlorn darkness of a gothic aberration in the poem.
Wow.
Man, a solitary willowy figure stands with a tragic, sullen look. So you set the tone right there. Red roses have become pure black roses, wilting in the twister of deafening screams. My goodness,
and all worth it. Weeping boughs of trees shed the tears of toxic fumes once abounded with the gems of amethyst and emerald. And at the end here, an ebony raven accompanies this lone, tristful wretch. The images here are excellent. Frank, I was almost expecting to laugh at the end, and I was like, oh, wait. Yeah, no, it just sort of stopped me in my tracks because, like, yeah. I always get a kick out of how Linda replies each time you do that. But from the abominable, there you go, from the abominable prison of the house of despair, what a sad, dark place it is. My goodness.
It's more of a somber piece. That's why I didn't laugh. It's more of a somber piece there, and I just took it from there. And can I say
that's
really quickly that I want to thank you for the prompt there. I thought you did an excellent job with the prompt there. I just enjoyed every one of these prompts. I would have done a poem of every one of those. This is the one I chose, and I just felt this one from the start when I saw it.
I'm thrilled that they inspire some of the poetry that we got tonight, yours included. Every week, the poems that you people bring for me here just blow me away. I know I say blow me away often, but it's what happens when you hang around with such outstanding poets. Excellent work, totally. Let me see here.
Oh, thank you.
Let me get a comment from Gary, please.
Yes, ma'am. I thought it was absolutely awesome. The sound of his voice, and I just pictured like this cartoon of the Edgar Allan Poe movies I watched not too long ago, and this crow is talking and telling the story, and it was one of those great dark Poe feeling rites that he just pulls off just flawlessly. I thought it was excellent with the great read.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, my friend.
Comment. And Lady A, how about you?
Well, I thought that I thought this was really amazing, actually. There's several lines that jump out at me, but the last verse was what really moved me. An ebony raven accompanies this lone, tristful wretch with a pale face and plaintive eyes seeking a friend from the abominable prison of the house of despair, exiled to the forlorn darkness of a gothic aberration. This last verse really touched me because, I mean, how many people, I mean, are actually seeking a friend and being in an emotional prison of the house of despair. I thought that was excellent. Interpretation of this picture, along with many other bits and pieces that you've woven throughout this. His description, the night, the wind, and the tombstone itself, and speaking of the tombstone of the graveyard of caged souls, the whole piece was excellent. Very well done.
I appreciate that, my dear. Thank you very much.
More than welcome.
Awesome comment. How about you, Linda?
Well, I just always love Frank's stuff, especially the dark, foreboding pieces. And this was foreboding, but it was sadly frightening. And what a sorry, mournful character you portrayed here. This was a wonderfully emotional piece, which gave me chills at the end, which you usually do. I kind of missed the ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, but you know what? Even though you didn't say it, I could still hear it. I promise you I heard it. So you've ingrained that in my mind.
I'll do a sound card for you Wednesday.
That'd be great.
Thanks.
No, I love
Thank
your
you
stuff,
much.
Frank. They're so well put together and so eloquently written that I'm just amazed by your stuff. Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah, thank you very much for your comments, my dear. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Comment and sweet, will you comment for Frank and then read for us, please?
Frank, I'm very sorry. I will read and comment, or I will read and comment it. I only heard bits of it. I had to run and take care of my dogs. They've been a little loud tonight.
Gotcha. No, that's no problem, sweet.
And your poem is ready, dear heart.
Okay. Okay, this is Forest of Bitter Hearts. Alice whispered into the mysteries of Wonderland's winds. Onyx cauldron began to rise and spin as bronze and gunmetal shrapnel tinged into black steam, soon to release and shred Wonderland flesh. Alice scribbled and scratched, glaring at her victim's list. A gruesome smile eased her lips, desire for bloodied feathers in her fist. A timorous pigeon with triskaidekaphobia twist to eat his heart's bliss. Sapphire gown lacerates the heads of new flowered crowns. The dehydrated mind of a queen misunderstands nauseated crones for venerated tones. Alice whistles, devouring the hearts in a deck of cards. Alice brushed the hair of a March hare 100 times and removed eggshell pieces of marble entangled in his soft coat as he carved the tombstone for a ticking white rabbit dinner waiting in the freezer. Alice craved the death of them all, the caterpillar, a Cheshire cat, Bill the lizard. All must die, the vein poison lacerated, bones crushed, bodies left bleeding, eyes pulsating with plasma into a cobalt sea of salt, tears, and heart wrenching loneliness. Alice stared at her name, the last on her list, heart still pounding in her chest, yearning for a final kiss. Captured, killing, eating the hearts of useless men waiting for him. Her maddest of hatters, will he show her one more grin? Be the guiding light and throw the darkness into the river Styx? Is Alice doomed to eat her heart into the depths of cobalt blue loneliness and poem?
Holy, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Man, the emphasis and the power in your voice as you got to certain parts was like it had suspense music in the background almost. Man, oh man, I don't even know which one to pick. And Alice craved the death of them all, the caterpillar, a Cheshire cat, and Bill the lizard, all must die, deveined, poisoned, lacerate, bones crushed. Oh my goodness. Talk about gritty frustration being taken out on this. I mean, I'm picturing smashing the caterpillar and punching the Cheshire cat in the face and breaking his what do they call that thing on your nose? Deviated septum.
Yeah, it just broke my nose.
I was like,
I
okay. I think she might have just smacked him with her dining room table.
That's right.
And then in that closing stanza, her maddest of hatters, will he show her one more grin, be the guiding light? Will he throw darkness into the river Styx? Is Alice doomed to eat her heart into the depths of cobalt blue loneliness? But it was sort of like something ended like that. Maybe the Twilight Zone, like, is Alice doomed? Stay tuned for the next episode to find. I mean, there needs to be a part two of this. Just saying. I think that when you sink your teeth into an Alice in Wonderland poem, and then on top of it get to read it to Hatter, you outdo yourself every single time. Wow, sweet. Deep and dark and vicious and image-filled and brilliant, just like you.
Thank you.
Wow. Hatter.
Yeah. Wow. The Golden Lizard had almost died. De-veined. You went de-veined. Damn. That's it. You have a little rhyme scheme, little rhyme thing in here. I'm trying to find it. Where the end of one line and the beginning of the next, it rhymes within a few words. Anyway, that when it shows up, I don't know if you actually did that. It probably did, but that also, to me, helps the flow. You can break the normal pattern with that. And it's, I wish I could find it. I can't find it. I don't see it. I'll point it out. I'm going to find it. Right. See. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I mean, the most rhyme I have is in stanza two, which is Victim's List, Bloody Feathers in Her Fist, and
yeah.
Eat His Heart is Bliss.
It led into one thing to another, so far gowns as the head of the from crowns. Remind. Yeah, your mind queens. All right. How you read it too?
Yeah, I'm not the greatest rhyme poet. You know that. And trust me, I didn't do anything deliberately.
It really stood out to me. That's why I'm bringing it up. I wish I could mark it. But I love the way the boy went. Like I said, de-vein, poison, lacerated, de-headed. Damn.
Don't beat me in Wonderland.
Oh my goodness, Frank, you want to comment?
Yes, this was I'm not really aware of the whole series there that you mentioned, but I do of what I've read of these pieces of series have been always very, very fascinated pieces. I like this piece here, For Us a Bit of Heart. So that's a great title there. I like the reference there, where you began, if Alice whispered into the mystery of Wonderland's winds. This whole poem here has just exudes of a colorful imagery here and very polished writing here, you know, sweet. I could not help but, although it's dark and somber in nature, and I could sense every line in this piece and the way you carry with your voice that, and it's very important when we have our voices there. We take the tone of the piece there, whatever the genre be, and we make it even more vivid for the reader or for the person who's actually listening to us. You have an excellent job. You do an excellent job there, an excellent voice there, and you do that efficiently, I would say. Great poem. I've got to run, my friends, now. I've just got to stop over at Stephen really quick, and then I've got to head home. I was traveling the whole day today, so I've got to get some rest as well. Take care, my friends.
Nice.
Good night, Frank.
Yeah, thank you,
Frank.
Carefully. Take care, my friends.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome, sweet. You're welcome. Thank you.
And Linda, did you want to comment for sweet?
Sure, sweet. Another job well done. Are you very tired?
A little bit, yeah.
Because I think your imagination is working overtime.
I'm having my 3-year-old grandson too much, but.
Well, this
but
was just
you.
So cool. Yeah, it was very cool. I love Lewis Carroll, and I loved Alice growing up. I actually owned at one time the original edition of Alice in Wonderland, which my brother stole, and I have no idea where it's at now. But I found it in a box in a backyard, almost to be rained upon. And I went through all these titles, and I found an I saw Lewis Carroll, and I grabbed it, and it said Alice in Wonderland on it, and I just got the chills. And when I opened it up and read, looked through it, it had no copyright page, which means it's an original edition. And I had it looked at by a book dealer that said no pages had been torn out, but they'd have to send it away to get it authenticated for, you know, with a stamp saying it's real. But we knew what it was, and I cherish that book, the stories, and you made this so fun. It was an interesting twist on Alice, but I got to give you kudos for making it cool. So good job, sweet.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Gary, will you comment for sweet, please, and then read us your poem?
Yes, ma'am. I sure will. I enjoyed it tremendously. It was like grossed me out, but yet it was like a fairy tale grossed me out story and amazingly writ, you know. I know I couldn't do all that creativities and all that mess, and I thought it was amazing. I definitely could never do that.
Thank you. I'm sure I could never do half the stuff that you said. It's great.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I got one for you tonight. It's a rhyming one. If you wanted to hear something, it rhymes. This is called Fire by Little Gary. I smoke when I write, and my words are like fire. That's why every time that you read them, they sound like they're being sung by a choir. I'm the king of these poems that you see, so you can call me your sire. And if you ever find yourself out looking for a good one, then Little Gary's your one and only supplier. But when it comes to love, I guess you can call me a crier. And my money's so low that my pocket couldn't be any more drier. And that's why, my friends, I tell my writing to anyone, even the National Enquirer. Hell, everything I write is for real, with only a small 50% chance that it comes from a liar. I'm trying to stay straight, even though my life is so dark and so dire. Maybe it's because every day I have to wipe them haters off, just like I'm a two-plier. Hell, even Creed will tell you that they couldn't even take my ass higher. That's right, y'all. Little Gary's a flyer. I'm always down for my girl, just like a trailer park's car's tire, because she gives me all that I need and my heart's every desire. And so when I come home, it's always a poem with a bundle of flowers, making her throw my ass down so she can love me for hours. And you better know that when she does, that I'm killing everything just like I was Michael Dan Myers. I want to be the kind of writer that others admire, or at least that's what I hope and aspire. But so far, y'all, I may never retire. I guess that's just the life of a great poet, because you only get noticed when you finally expire. So listen up, publishers, because you should be a damn buyer. How could I be someone that you shouldn't hire? Hell, it's past time to get my little ass out of the shire. And so the next time that you see smoke, just know that it's Little Gary riding that fire. End point.
Wow. This is like it's packed with such an amount of wit and rhyme. It's like a rap. Man, I don't even – oh, hell, even Creed will tell you that they couldn't even take my ass higher. You put the song in my mind. Man, I'm always down for my girl. It's like Trailer Park's car tire, because she gives me all that I need in my heart and every desire. I can't believe – I mean, think about this now. Look at towards the end of this poem. Tires, desires – admire, aspire, retire. I mean, shire, fire, hire, fire. you slam it with rhyme after rhyme after rhyme, kicking butt. Your wit is always showing. Your cleverness is always showing, mixed with humor and emotion. And you just belt through it like a stand-up comedian type of thing. It's an excellent piece. I'm really glad that you brought it. Hell of a read, hell of a write. Wow.
Thank you so much.
Wow. Lady A.
Yes, Gary. You're one and only Gary. You're one of a kind. You're unique and creative and a whole hell of a lot of fun. And your poems are humorous, but there's always that edge of the real you about being a crier, and that's not a bad thing because you're a sensitive guy and you can tell that. And I think any girl would be lucky to have you, and you just got to find one that appreciates that sensitivity you have. Great piece.
Right on. Thank you for the comment.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And my sweet?
I love the cadence of encouraging, that forthright of, here I am, this is my fire, open your damn eyes because, hello, I'm Gary, I'm here, and if you don't know that, I'm going to tell you again. I really enjoy your comic relief. I enjoy the way you stand up, and to answer your question, you are a poet that is admired by poets, and, you know, the one thing I say about really great poets is we are going to be a smash hit 100 years after we're dead. Just ask Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah. That's unfortunately
awesome
our gig in life.
Awesome. Yes, Linda, you can comment, please.
I would love to. Little Gary, I'll tell you what, I'll be your number one fan, and I will buy your book, sweetheart. I'm amazed you found so many things that rhymed with fire. You got the moves, extremely great on the rhymes on this poem. I thought it was extremely funny. You opened yourself up. You let your heart out there on what you want, and that's not easy to do sometimes, but your poem was hysterically funny and wonderfully beautiful. So good job, little Gary.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your comment. I admire all of y'all, too. Absolutely. Badass. I mean,
you're
bad,
welcome,
whatever.
Little Gary.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I love you,
awesome
Gary.
Comments. Awesome comments, everyone. And Hatter, do you want me to read for you? You said you're in a spot you can't read? Okay, let me see here.
Yes.
All right, well, all we have... Yes,
ahead,
you can read or no?
No,
okay.
I cannot.
We have Hatter's... Okay, I'll read for you now. We have Hatter's poem, and then we have Phil's recording, and we're done. So I am going to read for my big brother. It's called Can't Get It Back, Little Jack Soot by Jay Hatter. Here we go. Shadow stained with soot-colored glasses, he shuffles to bathe in industrial ashes. A traveling sinner and his partners by trade, a spider that flies and a hairless Jose. A world of chaos and counted depressions, writing in blue to feel the sensations. The stench that burns your inner soul, he walks in fear with nowhere to go. Darkness gathers in pools of blackened dust. Hidden from view, his sinner's male touch. Beware the growling hills of black. To follow will prove you can't get it back. Oh, that's creepy. You know, it gives me, I don't know if you, there's a horror movie called The Hills Have Eyes, and something about that just gives
yeah
me that feel. And I got, yeah, and I got like the goosebumps. Beware the growing hills of black. To follow will prove you can't get it back, and many of them didn't. So like, wow. and the look on this guy's eyes. But I love the opening, too. Shadows stained with soot-colored glasses, he shuffles to bathe in industrial ashes. Only Hatter writes with such impeccable meter. And we all, like, sometimes I get frustrated because you can almost always sing Hatter's poems because they're lyrical and the cadence is there. And sometimes if I don't read mine myself, where you sort of fake for lack of a better word, where you fake the meter, it doesn't sound as good as this. Tight little couplets, excellent job, and it's always an honor to read. Sweet.
Thank you, Jeff.
Oh, my God. First off, a spider that flies and a hairless Jose. Okay, that's hilarious to me. And it reminds me of Sky's cat. But writing in blue to feel the sensation. I don't, it's just so perfect. He walks in fear with nowhere to go. And it is so sad because hidden from view, his center male touch. To follow will prove you can't get back. Why can't you get back? Why can't you ever get back? I want to get back, no matter what I've done. But, yeah, I love this Hatter. Again, the cadence, the word choice, the rhyme, all of that. But I love the baffling question, the baffling riddle, and the hairless Jose. Just FYI, hairless Jose is kind of intriguing.
Yeah, I know. That freaked me out, too.
And Linda?
Yeah, I always think Hatter stuff is, you said it right, Deb. The meter and the flow and form of this is impeccable. And the rhyme, that's something that's not easy to do. I know that because I work that way as well. And the way you wrote about this person, I love this. A traveling sinner and his partners by trade, a spider that flies and a hairless Jose. That's just beautiful. You captured the prompt perfectly. And I don't know how you fit all the word bank words in there because you did a stellar job. But anyway, Hatter, I'm impressed. You did a really great job on this, so carry on.
Thank you. I cheated. I only wrote to the picture prompt. I didn't do the colors.
Oh, okay.
Still awesome. Still awesome. Okay. excuse me. The last poem for tonight is a recording, and then we will push the shows for the rest of the week. So if you guys click on Phil's poem, I will push play.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Susie Banshee. Susie Banshee sits in a rocking chair with Budgie, her faithful cat, upon her lap, listening to a gothic lullaby on the gramophone. Grey dust collects on the stylus, giving it a shredded sound. Daydreaming of her eggshell statues in her Hong Kong garden, where she braided her hair in the Japanese fashion, wearing a burgundy dress with spider-laced Doc Martens. Bronze eyeliner highlights a sapphire-veined face. She holds men spellbound within a fractured ivory tower. They whimper when they hear Susie come to play. Laceration marks decorate the walls like a winged tornado. When satisfied, she disappears to drink caramel tea. She remembers the days of dear old Prudence, when her makeup never ran down her face. She was a punk, a goth, with the voice of a banshee, but now she sits and listens to the ghosts of her past, sipping poison from an onyx-crusted cup, staring into a broken mirror of emerald eyes. Suddenly there's silence like the center of a hurricane. Everything fades, leaving a scent of patchouli oil in the room. End poem.
My gosh.
Wow. I love his voice. Wow, let me see here. Daydreaming of her eggshell statues in Hong Kong garden, where she braided her hair in Japanese fashion, wearing a burgundy dress with spider-laced Doc Martens. Bronze eyeliner highlights a sapphire vein face. I giggled a little when he said the spider-laced Doc Martens. That was really cool. And she remembers the days of dear old Prudence, when her makeup never ran down her face. She was a punk, a goth with a voice of a banshee, but now she sits and listens to the ghosts of her past. There's a sadness there, like, it left me wondering, now she sits with the voice of a banshee, or she lost the voice of a, and she just sits and listens to the ghosts of her past. So it makes me wonder what happened to her voice. And like I said, the little touches like the spider-laced Doc Martens and the statues in the Hong Kong gardens and something else. And then, of course, that closing stanza, sipping poison from an onyx-crusted cup, staring into a broken mirror of emerald eyes. Suddenly there is silence like a center of a hurricane. Everything fades, leaving a scent of patchouli oil in the room. And the sense of smell, they say often if you're sitting alone and you get a whiff of a smell that brings something familiar to mind, a lot of people believe that it was like a visit. And the patchouli was a clever touch there. So I think that Phil never ceases to amaze with how he uses these prompts week after week, and I have to find his picture and put it here for us so that we can see it. Not that it matters, because he painted an amazing picture with his words. So, as usual, another brilliant piece. And I see that he had it in a contest too, and got an HM for it. So, excellent job. And again, I love listening to you read. I'm so thrilled that you keep making the YouTubes. Keep them coming, Phil. Keep them coming. I appreciate your constant participation in my show. My sweet, how about if you comment, and then after your comment, tell us about Thursday.
Yes. First, I like Phil's voice as much as you do. And I love Lacerations marks decorate the walls like a winged tornado. When satisfied, she disappears to drink chamomile tea. I love that whole stanza right there. I think his imagery and metaphors throughout this are just spot on. And I like why the poison from the onyx-crusted cup. I mean, there's just so many in here, I could just go on and on, but I'll take everybody's lines, and I know I don't like that, so I will try not to do that. But I just like how he describes her, and how she goes from this evil, tornado, wild, crazy person, and yet she just sits there and, you know, has her coffee and or her tea and, you know, remembers her days and listens to ghosts of her past. She's got this wild child kind of happiness to her. So I think it's a beautiful job as well. And then Thursday night, which I'm working on the chocolate board now, is tongue twisted and tied. So it's kind of a dual thing. What situations kind of get you tongue tied or twisted? Or are you only tongue tied and twisted with actual tongue tied, like Sally seashells and all that, and if you don't want to tell me something that your mouth goes numb with, rewrite one of your favorite tongue twisters, or make up a tongue twister, whichever you want to do.
uh-oh, you better watch out, because I know AP has a crazy poem that only he could read. Maybe he'll bring that one.
rubber baby body bumpers.
Yeah.
So either a situation where your mouth doesn't want to meet what your brain is telling it, or fake tongue twister.
Awesome sauce. And Linda, what did you think?
Well, I'm a fan of Phil. I just wish that he could come and read them, you know, live, because there's a little difference in his fluctuations when he reads. But this, all I can say, brother, is this was a severely awesome write, and at the end it reminded me of me, because I have my bottle of patchouli oil sitting right next to me as we speak. It leaves a vision in a room. I took care of my mother's house for a weekend while she was gone, and she just hates patchouli. But I was getting ready to go in her bedroom, and my patchouli spilled on her dresser. And when she came home, she could smell the patchouli oil throughout, and she's like, I thought I asked you not to wear that shit in my house. But that last verse it just stunned me about the everything fades, leaving a scent of patchouli oil in the room. But he did a fantastic job on this. The imagery was lovely. And, Phil, come back. Come back.
Awesome. And Lady A, would you like to comment for Phil?
Yes, I would. Phil is one of my favorite poets, and I'm really happy to hear his SoundClouds for sure. But this poem to me was very interesting, and I don't know if anybody else noticed this or not, but the title is Susie Banshee, and Susie is spelled S, for those that are listening in, S-I-O-U-X. S-I-E, S-I-O-U-X is Sioux, as in the Sioux Nation, First Nations. And so you have a variety of ethnicities throughout this poem. You have First Nations, as in the title. You have later on he mentions Hong Kong, which is now part of China, of course. Then you have the Japanese fashion. Her hair is done in Japanese fashion. And then you go down further and you have Prudence. Now, Prudence is very English, British name. And then you have the Banshee is Irish background and fairy tale-ish. And then you have the Emerald Eyes, of course, I drew that up to be Ireland as well. So, and then the patchouli, which is Italian. So I thought that was very interesting how you have, and I don't know if he did it on purpose, but certainly as it blended in, he had all kinds of different ethnic backgrounds mentioned in this. And I thought that was very interesting and fun.
Awesome comment. All right, so we are at that moment. Tomorrow night is our one show that's extremely early a month. It's at 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's Gress's show that he had to postpone due to oral surgery last week. And you can write about Sylvia Plath or Elizabeth Barrett Browning or Emily Dickinson. And Gress is awesome, and he always has an amazing show. Again, that's at 7 p.m. And then on Wednesday night at 9 p.m., Wolf Spirit is hosting Open Poetry, so that will be a great show, a variety of stuff. People have been begging for Open Poetry, so Wolf said that he would host one once a month if I could give him an early slot, so like I said, Wednesday at 9, and then the fun tongue-twisting show for Sweet Thursday, and on Friday at the Man Cave, it's the topic is fishing, which should be really cool. And I was going to say gives Hatter a chance to maybe write about a fishing trip with him and his dad. And on Saturday, the topic is tumbleweeds. Just never know what's going to happen on a Saturday. And then I'm very excited about next week. It's lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. And that one, there'll be one show this week on Monday, and then there'll be a show in June and another show in July. And each time, like whoever chose lions for this show has to choose either a tiger or a bear respectively for each show. That way you each get to write for one of the animals each month. So I'm looking forward to all that coming up. And I'd like to take this moment to thank Hatter for always being there. Best big brother ever. And I want to thank Stephen and Kay and Dave and Wayne and Linda and Lady A and Gary and Chuck. Chuck is a first-time caller. Very nice to hear from him. Always thrilled when we get a new caller. And AP for squeezing us in on his break. And to Frank and my sweet and Sky. And a special thank you to Phil for sending us the SoundCloud that he sent in. It's always amazing to get to hear him read. I appreciate you all more than you can realize, and none of you quite understand how brilliant I find you to be. It's an honor to get to spend time with you week after week. You utterly blow me away every single time you grab your pen. It's an amazing sight to see. And an awesome thing to listen to. I will tell you week after week how special you are. Maybe one of these days you will believe it. You never know. I can be pretty adamant when I try to convince someone how brilliant they are. But in the meantime, I think that we should go out in the same way that we went in. So let the bodies hit the floor. Love and respect, everyone.
Thanks, Deb. Great show.
Love and respect, Deb.
Hi, all.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
Thank you, Hatter. Night, everyone. Love and respect.
Thank you. I'll see you later.
Okay.